Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Annie Sophine. Annie believes we exist within a quantum universe where our biological nature acts as a receiver and transmitter, where we are capable of tuning to specific frequencies as well as emitting them. This inherent ability unlocks access to unseen realities, particularly during dream states or deep meditative practices. Her work centers around the ability to be able to interpret these unseen realities due to her own paranormal experiences within the quantum realms and with unseen forces. Our quantum potential facilitates connection with divine beings, galactic communities, ancestral wisdom, and other worlds. It allows for the perception of past, present, and future, as well as quantum healing, messages, and travel. Annie helps others wake up to their own innate powers and teaches them how to interpret their own quantum messages, tune into these frequencies, interpret symbolic messages, gain deeper understanding of life and the beyond, and gain access to quantum healing. So without any further ado, Annie, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. It's actually pronounced Ani, but thank you, though.
Sorry. Do I got the surname correct?
Yeah, the middle. Yeah, Sophine is correct. Yeah, thank you, though.
Okay, good. Ani, Sophine, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. Well, tell us about your voyage of discovery. We hail from the same neck of the woods, the San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I talked about that on your show, some of the experiences I had growing up. But tell us about your formative experiences and the milestones and guideposts along the way.
Yeah, so I mean, if we go back to when I was a child, I was deeply connected to nature and the animals, and so I felt more comfortable with them than I did with humans. I was a very shy child. And I was thinking the other day, like, what experiences did I have when I was a kid that were paranormal? And I remember that, you know, because I was like, I feel like I was in such a theta state that I didn't think too much. I was just kind of like, but at night, however, it was a different story. And so I was absolutely terrified of the dark, like absolutely terrified. And I remember you were telling your story about your brother being terrified as well. And I was trying to think back to some experiences I had when I was young, like before 7 years old. And I do remember, you know, experiences where there were very abnormal sounds outside of my room. I remember waking up in the middle of the night, of course, around, you know, the witching hour, 3 o'clock, and just being super terrified, sensing something in the room, and then having to, you know, call my mom. And I just remember I was like, I was even so terrified to go to the bathroom. I wouldn't go to the bathroom, even if I woke up in the middle of the night. And this went on for a long period of time. And I remember also, seeing things walking down the hallway, like seeing the shadow, hearing the steps, knowing it wasn't my parents because they were in the room sleeping, and knowing something was there, but just not being able to identify it. And because of my extreme fear of the dark, I would just internalize and go in. And so I didn't start having, or even, I'm sure I had dreams, but I didn't remember them when I was young. It wasn't till, and then I'll just put a little bit of context too. I also grew up in the Bay Area as well. So I grew up in San Mateo, which is about 20 minutes, I think, north of Moffett Field. So I was very close as well. I'm within that area. And I have like some theories about, you know, why we were experiencing these things there. But I was very close as well. And so same area, which is interesting. And yeah, so I just, you know, as a kid, there is a lot of like missing gaps, like missing memories, not being able to remember certain things. And yeah, just my main memories were just being, you know, with the animals and with the horses and stuff, because I used to ride horses. I still ride horses, but I used to compete. And then what happened was with me is when I was, my huge trigger and switch happened when I was 15. And when I was 15, I started almost becoming psychic. Like I was able to, and the trigger was, I believe, was menstruation. And I don't know if a lot of women experience this, but for whatever reason, the switch of the hormones that happened triggered something genetically within me. And then I was starting to have all of these memories. And so, like, for example, I would know, like, I wouldn't even know somebody was driving down the road. And then, like, I didn't know that they were driving down the road. But then I stand outside and I knew that that person had just, like, driven by. So I started, I also was able to, like, telepathically, like, sense what people were thinking. All of a sudden, information from, like, ancient cultures started, like, coming into me. I'm, like, almost, like, dropping into my my system. And I also kind of almost started having like this spiritual, like emergency, like awakening. All these things started happening and I didn't understand what it meant. And I was, you know, it became like a spiritual, like emergency for me. And so what started happening is when I was 15 is same thing with you is I was like, about to fall asleep. And then like in the in-between state, I called in-between state, I would feel this massive, massive pressure pushing down on me and I couldn't move. So I had sleep paralysis and I would be struggling in this state and this, whatever it was pushing down on me and just, you know, trying to like, you know, not allow me to move. And so this started happening at 15 and it started happening all the time, frequently, to the point where I was, and I had no memory of like what was happening within that period of time where I was being suppressed and pushed down, but there was something that was pushing me down. And I remember I started being scared to sleep on my back because it would always happen when I was sleeping on my back. Now I don't feel like there was any like sexual behavior. So definitely none of that, but there was definitely something trying to, communicate with me, suppress me, or possibly take me somewhere else. And I didn't understand what this meant because nobody else was experiencing this around me. And so I felt kind of like I'm alone, you know, in a way, because I would tell the story, but nobody could tell me what it meant. And then what started happening is as time went on, and I think it was like maybe where I was like 16 or 17, I had a crazy freaking experience like in that state where just like what you said, where like in the closets, portals open up. Mm-hmm. And if you don't protect your space or your house, then things can come through those portals. So I happened to have another experience like that again. I was on my back and sleeping and it was in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and something was in the closet and it said, "I'll take your soul and you'll be like me."
Oh.
So yeah, tell me about it. So I was like, that just like, you know, I mean, talk about being like a little kid. I had to literally go sleep in my mom's room. And I was like so freaked out by that experience. Like it was just because like the pressure was there. Like there, the pressure was there. Whatever it was in that closet saying this thing to me. And I knew that like the veil was thin between these worlds. And so when that started happening, that was the last time that I actually had that experience where like a dark entity like spoke to me. And then maybe it wasn't a dark entity. Maybe it was one of those, you know, reptilians who were pretending to be dark entities because, you know, they're walking in between fourth density, fifth density realms. And so they're able to pop in to those, like, you know, like you said, those portals, either through mirrors or through closets. And so as I'm now, when I look back, it makes more sense for it to be like that, acting like this, the devil, basically. And so what's interesting is what started happening to me after that is so during this time I was having massive, you know, kind of like almost like a spiritual awakening, really unstable. I was like unstable, like emotionally, because all of these things were kind of like coming forth and I didn't have any explanation for them. And I started going like on this deep search about, you know, the Armenians, because I'm Armenian, half Armenian, and my family was in the Armenian genocide. And I knew, like you said, there are certain, you know, cultures that have specific genetics and DNA that are able to have these psychic abilities. And maybe some of these cultures are actually intermixed with ETs, to be honest. And I think that there is some type of hybridization that occurred. So I intuitively knew that. And I was like searching for that as a kid. And the links were there, but the evidence just wasn't coming up. And so that led me down my spiritual path, the beginning of my spiritual path, seeking who are the Armenians? What does this mean? Where do we come from? Why am I here asking all these questions? And so I would get these like, you know, weird visitations in the nighttime with whatever these entities were that were visiting me. And I had no memory of them because I couldn't see them. But what started happening is that once again, sleeping on my back in the in-between state, I would fall down a black hole. So I was like falling down a black hole. And this would happen every week. Most likely every other night it would happen to me, to the point where I was so freaked out to sleep on my back. I would like sleep on my side. And anytime that I would go on my back, I would experience this weird, strange state of sleep paralysis, not being able to move, being completely aware of my like surroundings, but then falling down this black hole. And so This continued to happen for probably over a year. And then all of a sudden, like, there was, and I don't know if you've had this experience before, but it was through my left ear. This is when I started getting this like clairaudient type of ability, but super high pitched, like kind of like radio wave type sounds coming through my ear. And then it transitioned into a more clear vibrational kind of like frequency state of like radio waves that weren't as so scratchy. And then it transitioned into a woman singing opera. And then it transitioned into a being that was not from this world that told me, I will show you the way. Mm-hmm. And so after that experience, my experience on my back and in that deep, like not being able to move, sleep paralysis state that is so freaky, and the pressure that was like coming on me stopped completely. So I clearly got some form of assistance and help, whatever that was, who spoke to me. Clearly that being helped me out. But I do believe there must be more to this. I just am not remembering because the memories are suppressed, you know? So that was what was going on when I was younger. And then kind of like you, after that, those experiences of like these weird in between states, the beings coming and visiting entities, there was a complete like pause, like for years, a break in being visited that way until about 5 or 6 years ago. And then it started coming back again. So, now what's happening to me is it's becoming more clear kind of what's happening. It doesn't happen on my back anymore. It happens on my side, but definitely within the in-between state, there are beings that do come visit, and they are like, for example, I've had like downloads. I feel like they're downloads because it almost sounds like I'm getting upgraded into a computer system. Like it goes do 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 do, and it's happening in my left ear. I see like spinning. I've seen like spinning, like geometric shapes, like in my third eye. I've had weird time experiences where I look at the clock, but I'm physically out of my body, and the clock is like in a weird space, and then I come back to my body, and it's exactly the same time. So time has been paused. I've also had dreams, multiple dreams where I've like dropped into other people. Sometimes people, in war and, or like fighting, like where, screaming and fighting and shooting is going on. I've also had experiences where, I feel like I'm like almost like transitioning in between dimensions, and I've myself in the future spoke to me and like screamed at me and told me to wake up. And I've also had, I mean, just one experience after another, where I'm experiencing these like other dimensions, like traveling in between, like maybe the astral realm, and like my consciousness is going into other beings, other dimensions, other worlds. And I'm like living probably as other selves, and, or my consciousness is dropping into these other selves that have another consciousness. So yeah, I'll stop there. I don't know if you have any questions, but there's been a lot.
Yeah, I've got a few of them. About the ancient wisdom, how did that process unfold? Would you get like these visions or images of what life was like amongst your ancient ancestors? Were you getting messages from them? How did that process unfold?
It was through language and through my name. So Sophine is an ancient name. And stems from Armenia. So both of those names, Ani and Sophine, are Armenian. And they're root words for other things. So if you go deeper into it. And so through my search of my name, I started coming across ancient knowledge of the Armenians. And my intuition told me that was that they were holding something within their DNA that the Ottoman Turk, and maybe it wasn't the Ottoman Turks, but maybe it was most likely other, you know, entities that were trying to suppress that information because they held some type of key. And it's not just the Armenians. There's specific groups around the world that have this information from, I believe, ET contact from the past. And my theory is that there was some form of hybridization that occurred, and that is actually in our DNA. And it's suppressed right now because we've been pre-programmed to believe that, you know, we're not worthy, so to speak, or that we don't have power within us. And so what started happening is that I knew intuitively that there is something there in Armenia, or now of Turkey, because Turkey took the land after the Armenian genocide. So ancient Armenia. And I knew it was through the evidence of the stories of within the myths. And so, and that the myths themselves were stories of the past that were true, but they were rewritten and almost like rewritten by the cultures who found them, or maybe passed down orally. And so, but I knew that it went way further back than what we were saying, because, you know, in the early 90s and, you know, 2000s, like, they said that civilization started, what, like 6,000 or 7,000 years ago. And I knew that it was way longer than that. I was saying 25, 30, 40, 50,000 years. And so, it just came to me like intuitively. And I believe, like you said, that it's genetically there. And so the DNA needed to be, you know, needs to be woken up and kind of triggered. And the environment in which, you know, we were living in during, you know, like the Bay Area, I believe that there's certain frequencies that are running through that area that they know they're running through and creating purposefully. And they are able to somehow with those frequencies pick up on those people that have these like psychic abilities. And so, and it's through the DNA, and who knows, maybe we like have some type of like energetic signature that is being released, you know, through our DNA, some type of frequency that's being like, we're like almost like a receiver and transmitter. So some type of frequency that's going out. And I believe this is all based around frequencies. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going in the Bay Area around there. There's, you know, there's dumbs around there, and they're messing with, I'm kind of going off another tangent here, but they're messing with the frequencies, and they're messing with dimensions and stuff. And so those of us that have these latent, you know, kind of abilities within our genetics, you know, once it starts waking up, they like kind of almost like they can like pinpoint it and find it. I don't know if you kind of feel that way as well, but
I would agree with that, because they seem to know both ends of the polarity spectrum. They seem to know when we're coming back into the earthly plane, and they seem to know our background, our past lives, even when we were not incarnated as what we would call a human, but rather what we would call an ET. They seem to know these things about us and actively seek to suppress that knowledge from ourselves. What were the kind of drop-in experiences you were having? Because I've had things like that before as well, where maybe this is somewhat different from what you described, but there were times when I intentionally, this is back in the day, I don't do this anymore, intentionally try to break into places astrally, underground bases. I set an intention to break into certain places astrally, and then when I'd leave my body, I'd focus, and then I'd wind up there. Sometimes I'd look down, and I'd be wearing like a white lab coat, ID, security badge, whatever. And I'm just walking down a corridor of what appears what I'm sensing to be an underground base somewhere. And people are walking by me, and I'm just saying to myself, okay, well, I'm here. I guess I'm this person, or assume the guise of someone who belongs here. What are some of your experiences in that regard?
So I don't know if I was physically on the planet, to be honest. And some of the drop-ins that I had, like I said, like the one that who was, I believe, a soldier. And he, I don't know if I was him or if I was just dropping into his consciousness and was able to see through him and to experience what he was experiencing. It's like almost like I personally feel that the consciousness was put to the side of the body, and then I dropped into that consciousness. And it was like Earth. There was massive, and I almost felt like I was dropping in the future. So there was an apocalyptic event. There was kind of chaos on the ground. There was massive casualties, and you know, he was trying to protect the people that he was, you know, that were with him. And so I personally believe it was like a future timeline event that could potentially happen. And I was able to drop in and see that actual event. And by me dropping into his place, possibly I was able to alter something. But it was on the boots on the ground. It was a war. It was chaos. It was on the planet, but in the future, like a future timeline. And he was trying to protect people because there was multiple casualties and death that was occurring. And there was like yelling and, you know, full on use of, you know, a gun. I don't know what type of gun, because I don't know the different types of guns, but I don't know if I dropped in to him personally, because I, like I said, maybe I was trying to help alter a specific event, but this started happening where, you know, for me personally, like I have supposedly, I wonder if the dream state is, you know, another waking state as well, but I personally feel like I'm in my dream state. I drop into people all the time. Like I'm working in the dream state, like in the hypnagogic state, but I'm not those people. Have you experienced that too? And I'm on multiple different types of worlds, male or female. Sometimes I'm a different being. I don't know exactly what type of being I am, but it is definitely not a human. And it's like, I'm able to drop in, move their consciousness to the side. I step in as them. And then I do whatever I need to do within that state and then pop out of that one. Wake up, go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, go back to sleep, next dream, somewhere else. Wake up, next dream. I at least have like three dreams or dropping in experiences every single night. So I personally, I'm working in the middle of the night all the time. And I might even have more than three, but there's three usually that I remember. And it happens at specific times where I'm going into different places in different worlds, which sometimes maybe it's on this planet. Sometimes I think it's in the future. Sometimes I go back into the past. And then sometimes I'm other types of beings, you know, that are not human.
And when you are in a non-human body, does it seem as if the denizens, the people, if you will, of these realms, can you get a good look at them and you can tell, okay, they're not human as we understand it. So yeah. I must be like them. Is that what it's like? And if so, can you describe what some of these beings, the architecture, the society, what they're like?
Yeah. So one of them is a feline hominid type being, and it's a female that I have some kind of type of connection with. And maybe it's another one of my current present selves. And I'm calling it current present selves because I believe it's happening now. And so there's some like quantum entanglement that is there. So I have some connection with this being, but they are definitely living in a hierarchical type of society. They look feline, but they are humanoid, which is strange. And they're warrior type species, the ones that I'm dropping in with. And they are attempting to protect their society from some certain issues that are occurring. That's one of them. And there's definitely a hierarchy within the species. And I sometimes wonder, I'm like, am I traveling to Lyra? Because I know that there has been other people that have experienced, you know, hominoid type feline species before, have seen them. But what's strange with this one is that she is in my consciousness. So I can see her within my third eye in my waking state. But in my dream state, it's more like I drop into the body, and I call it dropping in, which is strange. And then the other one, which is I don't even know if it's a reptilian type, but I haven't seen anyone really talk about this type before, but it is a light blue being, kind of spindly arms and legs. You know how they're spindly. It's a humanoid. So it's a bipedal, and it's light blue green. And it has its head is kind of like almost like a pterodactyl. So pterodactyls, I mean, yes, you could argue that they're, you know, kind of bird-like, possibly reptilian. We don't know for sure, but I personally did not sense reptile from it, but it is more, these are really high levels of consciousness, higher dimensional density type of beings. And they're extremely technologically advanced, but they have this very strange, like kind of curved pterodactyl brain, or I don't even know if it's a brain, but it's part of their body. And they're more gentle, you know, the species. I personally don't know if I've had interactions with grays before and or reptilians, but based upon, you know, your experiences and like kind of what you say, that they can definitely shapeshift and act like they're demonic. And I believe, you know, possibly maybe some of my experiences was that I was actually, who knows, that they were there and that they were, you know, acting as someone else. And my body was not able to, I was in that like paralyzed state. So Those are the two species that I really remember. The more pterodactyl type, my senses is that it's not from this galaxy, because I have not heard of any other accounts of people describe beings that look like that. I've heard of them, you know, describing like kind of like the blue beings, but this type that I'm seeing, I don't see any other drawings or any other accounts of that so far. So I'm sensing that it potentially could not be from this galaxy, but they're very technologically advanced, is what I do know.
You didn't think they appeared reptilian. Is there an aspect to them that you may liken to a salamander, which I know is reptilian, but more amphibian? Would it remind you more of that, or was something entirely different?
I would say, you know, like the body itself, like the structure of the body would be more of like this, a salamander, but the head itself was so unique that, and it, like the facial structure was more elongated. It wasn't, yeah, you know, like, more flat. It was like more elongated. And that they didn't have, you know, like they didn't have five fingers. It's more like three or four. Yes, their bodies were thin. So very thin and highly intelligent because of the structure of this top part. I don't know. I mean, because pterodactyls to me, I mean, are they reptile or are they more bird?
Yeah, that's a good question. And there's the old concept of birds having evolved somehow from dinosaurs, right? Some similarities as far as the phylums are concerned. The soldier that you described in that experience when you dropped in, I think I caught you saying something about cat people were involved in that and some of those soldier experiences. If so, could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that was more of with the Lyra being. So this soldier was almost like, and I don't want to say super soldier, but it was the soldier was human, human. And and it was fighting amongst, I believe, humans on our planet in the future.
Okay.
So this was a future drop-in that occurred.
And as far as their adversaries were concerned, did you get an impression of who or what the adversaries were, who you were fighting against?
I remember seeing like highly advanced forms, and I'm saying drones because I don't know how to describe them. But what I'm seeing is highly advanced. I saw highly advanced flying drone type of things in the air. And I don't know if this was a warning, you know, like being able to see certain event potential timelines within the future and being able and trying, who knows, like maybe, you know, trying to alter some form of like timeline. I feel like we have those abilities to do that because of this quantum physics and quantum entanglement. So to me, I was sensing that was something that potentially was like occurring, you know, by me dropping in. But there were some machines, drones, like it was like a machine war, you know?
Well, we're definitely trending in that direction. Even in just the last few days, there's been these mainstream news accounts of robotic advances in China, apparently, and they're probably not the only country doing this, but they're creating seemingly huge armies of robotic appliances, devices, let's say. Perhaps, you know, they would probably have more than one function, but I'm sure there's a war-fighting aspect to some of them as well. So you may have had a glimpse of what may be coming down the pike as far as a potential timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that. And then around that same time period, it was myself in the future because of the feeling that I got and the absolute urgency that I got from myself in the future. And it, you know, came through a frequency. So it was like myself in the future was able to tap into this frequency, whatever timeline I was on, and literally screamed at my own self within this consciousness at that moment to wake up. And it wasn't telling me to wake up to become more conscious because I was already on the spiritual path. So I was already awake. I was already privy to a lot of these things that were, you know, occurring. So that wake up to me was a serious warning And the reason why that it was only wake up is because of the wherever myself was in the future, and then the frequency that needed to be transmitted to get to where I was in that moment where I was in the present was a challenge. So it was a big urgent wake up call message is what it was. So I don't know if it had something, you know, to do with what I was, the other part of it.
Well, whatever it was that brought that about, it must have been important to your counterpart to traverse timelines. And because like you said, you were already on this path anyway. So it must have been something of an important nature to want to draw your attention to it, whatever it is.
Yeah. Definitely. And during that, go ahead.
Oh, please continue.
Oh, I was saying during that time period too is when I was getting these I don't know if upgrades or downloads, and they were like, I was almost like in a computer. Like there was a computer getting like I was in the computer or hearing the computer or something. That was strange too.
You would feel it like sync up with you, like link into you. And you described earlier some kind of sound almost like in the old days when you'd turn your Microsoft operating system on, it would give this kind of flourish, right? So it was something like that.
Yep. Yeah. And yes. And so where I was living at the time, that was about 5 years ago, I was starting to sense that I was stuck in some time loop there. And I know I was stuck in a time loop because it almost felt like Groundhog's Day every day. And I felt this sense of like knowing that I needed to break free, but didn't know how to, but was aware of the time loop that was occurring. I was able to break free. I was able to break free in August when I moved up further north from California. There's definitely some type of connection between like all of this, living close to these underground, you know, dumps, deep underground bases. It has something to do with the military messing around. We know that they're experimenting with stuff. And we know that they have knowledge of a lot of stuff based upon all these other accounts, you know, that people have had, like, you know, people, this many people are just not making this stuff up.
Yes. That's what's being left out of the equation, out of all of this disclosure business, right? The fact that countless everyday people are having these otherworldly experiences, visitations, visions, what have you. It really is spiritual warfare on a cosmic multidimensional level, playing out in the physical plane. You know, I think it's noteworthy that you are of Armenian descent because it's encoded in your genetics. It seared into your psyche and your soul that there were strenuous efforts to wipe your people out. And so when all this stuff happened, you know, in the recent past, let's just say the rollouts and the treatments, what have you, that there must have been a sense of deja vu, like, here we go again, that they're trying to get rid of us all. And interesting also how a lot of people that were in Armenia, one of the places they went to for refuge, for safety, both during and after the genocide, was to Beirut. Many of the people in Lebanon who made that country go, who built up the infrastructure, were Armenians, and people don't realize that.
Yeah. And that's exactly where my dad went. He was, he came over here when he was 19. Because they were trying to escape the war that was occurring again, that's starting again, basically. So he, he grew up in Beirut, Lebanon. My grandmother was a survivor. She was an orphan. And then my grandfather was, they took away all the land and, you know, just murdered the people, basically. But I just feel like there's more to the story, more to it than what we're hearing. This has happened all over the place as well. Like, look what happened to the Jewish people. Look what happened to the Native Americans. I mean, there's intentional genocides that have happened, you know, within the past 200 years, you know.
What's happening to Christians now all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there is something going on that we are not seeing. And we are taught to believe as kids that this is the only reality and that, you know, like if you have, you know, these experiences, then it's only your imagination. But my experiences have been so frequent and all the time that I know it's not my imagination. Something is going on. and my direct experiences with these other beings and or the messages that I was receiving are so clear and so distinct that it can't be my imagination, you know? And so, just trying to break free of like the pre-programming and stuff has been quite a challenge, but still in the process.
Well, we go back to the area that you grew up in and that I grew up in. I agree. It's an extremely spooky place. I remember the feeling of foreboding that I had when I would fly back to San Jose. By then, mm-hmm. I was living in San Diego, and that's a very spooky place too. All the military bases, all the dumps mm-hmm. there, underground bases. But when I flew back into San Jose in particular, I just had an ominous feeling. And it wasn't just because I had so many experiences there, but there was like, it seemed to be, I don't want to put a negative spin on it, but there seemed to be frequency-wise, like a darkness to the place. Mm-hmm. As fate would have it, I don't know if it was from watching your show that I was on or another show where I talked about my upbringing and life growing up in San Jose, but someone reached out to me in the recent past that lived in my neighborhood. In fact, this person lived like catty corner across the avenue, and I was mm-hmm. good buddies with her brother, right? And mm-hmm. he'd had UFO sightings and experiences, and it turns out that this gal who reached out to me, she'd had experiences too. And she was right there in my same neighborhood where I had all those experiences growing up. And then when you think about the aerospace high-tech dimension, that's where Silicon Valley started. I mean, I'm old yes. enough to remember when San Jose was one big orchard, right? I mean, yeah. I hate to say it, but I would go into some of these orchards like countless other kids do and, you know, pilfer some of the Queen Anne cherries or the apricots, the peaches, yeah. you know what I mean? But that's what San Jose was famous for. Luther Burbank was this plant geneticist, and he created all these strains of the different fruits and what have you, hybridized, and that's interesting, a parallel there. So San Jose was one big orchard at one time, and then gradually, incrementally, and then by leaps and bounds, it turned into the center of the semiconductor industry, where I had a job too. So, I mean, I used to make parts for the space shuttle in the semiconductor industry, and I made parts for Intel and all these other semiconductor firms and defense firms. So that's a very spooky place, and mm-hmm. I think that there's active portals there, as well as underground bases. And I think that certain places in particular, like in San Jose, north of San Jose is Calaveras Mountain. Mm-hmm. Milpitas is the next suburb right above San Jose. I live in the northern part of San Jose, and Milpitas was right above it. And Calaveras Mountain, Calaveras Reservoir were there, and lots of people have had UFO, ET encounters in that place. There's something about that place that's a big open doorway that allows these beings to come and go. And the deep black military aerospace people yep. seem to be aware of this.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And you're right. When you go there, you sense it. Like, I remember growing up how it felt. And I remember, and I know how it shifted. And I know it's dark. And there are, I mean, I remember even in my like late, early 20s, I was afraid to walk in the dark because I knew there was something behind me. I sensed there was something behind me, and it wasn't like friendly, you know? And I used to have people have to walk me to the car, or, you know, I remember just going from like coming home at like 2 o'clock in the morning and like getting out of my car and just running to the front door and just getting in the house as fast as I could, because there is something there. And, lots of paranormal activity within that area. There's a lot of people that have dark entity attachments within that area. And you're right about like the frequencies, like, and now what's happening is the frequencies are running all along, like up to even where I was living, because I moved further north over the Golden Gate Bridge, and I lived about an hour and 20 minutes from San Francisco in wine country. And so it started creeping up there as well. And I knew it started because why did I have a gap, such a long gap in between my experiences from when I was like in my early 20s, when that being spoke to me and helped me out, all the way up until about 13 or 14 years later, you know? And then it started coming back again. So why is it that it all of a sudden started coming back in? I wonder if those frequencies and those portals started coming further up north. And, you know, it's really creeping, and like, it's almost like these crazy dark tentacles just kind of like moving through that whole area.
Yeah. So you moved up by Napa Valley, thereabouts in that direction?
A little bit for, so Napa would be on the other side. I was on off of 101, so in Healdsburg. So wine country, full on wine country. Yeah. Past Sebastopol. And so, yeah, it started creeping up there and I knew there, you know, I sensed the time loop situation that was happening and, you know, the repeat and, people kind of like walking around, like in this like fog, you know, and people disconnected from their selves, like, and I really felt alone in my experiences, you know, and I was able to break free of it. I mean, I quit my job, I sold my house, I moved further up north and past Mount Shasta. So I'm about an hour north of Mount Shasta now in Oregon, but I'm surrounded by mountains. So massive mountain ranges are here, like the frequencies can't. And there are no dumbs or in this area. There's no dumbs in Oregon, which is crazy. Why? I don't know. But so far, there haven't been any detected. So I feel like I'm in a better place. I feel like I broke free of this time loop. I know that I completely shifted like on a completely other path by coming up here. But it required sacrifice, you know. First of all, awareness that you're in this time loop. And then second of all, just like full on like leaving everything that you had, basically job, everything.
That's what I had to do when I left San Jose to come to San Diego, and that opened a whole new chapter of my life. It was like a burden had been lifted from me, that darkness and that foreboding that I always felt from that place. And I don't know about how it is now, but back then it seemed to me that San Jose was a backwater of UFO research for some odd reason. The researchers that I did meet there were not very forthcoming. They didn't have the spirit of networking, of kinship, of cooperation that, you know, you would expect from people in the same line of work, the same field of study that you were in. And then it wasn't until I went to San Diego and joined the San Diego UFO Society that I met other like-minded people, and people just a phone call away sharing information. There was none of that from what I experience in San Jose. Yeah. Hopefully things have changed and the people there are more open and more open to networking, what have you. Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment. We're just starting to, you know, untap the cork, so to speak. Ani, could you tell our viewers and listeners where they could find you and your work on the internet?
Yeah. So I have a podcast called Quantum Messages with Ani Sophine, and I'm interviewing people like you and other people who've had, you know, very interesting experiences, kind of this paranormal experience and or UFO experience and or healing type of experience. I also have a website called quantummessages.com and quantummessages1.com. And I wasn't able to get quantum messages. It was taken. Anyways, I offer like spiritual guidance. And also I call myself a quantum analyst now because I feel like I'm always walking in between these worlds, so to speak. Like I feel like I'm a traveler between the worlds. Like I'm kind of always in between the dimensions. So I can help people kind of figure their stuff out and guide them along their experiences, whatever they may be. I also offer coaching services as well for cancer. I'm a cancer survivor. And so thriver now, and I was able to heal myself without any Western medical medicine. So zero. And so, which is very, very unusual in this day and age. And so I help people with that as well, if that's what they're seeking. And so I'm coming out with some very interesting things. There's some connection right now between ancient symbols and quantum particles, quantum messages, I believe. And I believe that the ancients, not only did they leave like a certain language with the symbols, but also I believe that within those symbols, it can describe the structure of our universe and how to move in between these quantum realms. So I'm working on that project right now.
Well, that's fascinating. I definitely want to know more about that. To our dear listeners and our viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.